Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. We're so thankful for our visitors to be here. We thank God for you. We hope that you'll be blessed and you'll keep coming back. Just don't watch this church grow. Come in and grow with us. We own 30 acres of land out on Infirmary Road, just past the jail. And we're looking forward to start to build this year. And once we build, Brother Coolidge is going to... He has a jail minister. He's going to buy a bunch of Monopoly cards, get the get out of jail free cards, and give them out on Tuesdays when he. But no, we've had a tremendous ministry there, and they'll actually those people that are there. They're there for a short time, and they see our land. I can't wait to see when they see the building. Now some of them already attended here, and we're glad for that. Amen. You have it, Brother Coolidge, the following Tuesday. Amen. So pray for that. But by the way, Pastor Dave will be preaching tonight. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. He does a tremendous job. I feel sorry for you that don't come to Sunday school. His Sunday school is just off the chart. I don't know if anybody does a better job in all America than Pastor Dave on the Sunday school. He just does it. He's talking about those fallen angels right now. They've been studying the book of Genesis and stuff like that. But 9:30 to 10:30 every Sunday, he does a phenomenal job. I've asked him to preach in the evening service tonight. And he also will be preaching at Pastor Teague's church this coming Wednesday. And so pray for him that he can be a blessing to those folks out there at Truth Baptist. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We're so glad you're here. Good to see each one of you today. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I seen Sister Young today. God bless you, Mrs. Young. And I did I see Norma Minor also? Amen. She just took the baby out. Good to see you. By the way, Norma Minor is over 90-some years old. I think she's 92. So that's pretty exciting when you see a lady come Sundays 92 years old, amen? Oldest lady in our church. Thank God for her. And thank God for each one of you for that matter. Matthew, I'm going to talk to you about gates in your life. All of us go through different gates or doors. I use the word gates today. Gates in your life. And look at Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. How many have got Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14? By the way, how'd the buses do today? How'd we do on our buses? Praise the Lord. What did Ravenna have? 27. Amen. Praise God. Keep those buses rolling. Amen. Can you give my bus workers a hand? Because they're the frontline people here, the Marines. God bless you. Keep those buses going. I think we have a van, too. Are we still running the van? Do we have a van route? Three buses? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. So keep those going and keep bringing the people in. Amen? That's what the Lord wants. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be talking about gates in your life today. Verse 13, Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. How many want to have everlasting life? And few there be that find it. They don't find it because they're off running after everything else in the world, and they miss the greatest thing, which is Christ. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to think about these gates that are in our life. Help us to choose the right gates to go through. I pray, Lord, I pray you'll bless this message. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Help me to say words from heaven. Lord, help me to say words that would reach people's hearts. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today they would come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin and make him their personal Savior. Thank you for bringing Brother Mike back to us and Annie, and Lord, Just bless all our people today. And now help me to do well for you, that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want to speak to you about gates in your life. Most people will go through different gates as they journey through life. Think about the different doors or gates you go through as you go through your life. Every gate leads to a certain place. Every gate might lead to a certain position. Every gate might lead to a certain portion of life. When you go through that door that you go through, it does lead to something behind that door or that gate. Amen? Revelation, I think about the gates in Revelation 21. Just stay here, though. I'll just quote it to you. Revelation 21:21 says, it tells us about the gates there in heaven. There's 12 of them. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. Can you imagine those huge gates? And they're a huge pearl. Boy, you girls never went to a jewelry store like that. And the streets of the city was pure gold. Man, as it was transparent glass. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, heaven's going to be beautiful. As much as we can try to preach to you and read to you, heaven really is, we can't even grasp how great it is. Brother Mike, heaven's beyond our imagination. That's how great it is. I want you to know, by the way, make sure, though, you make Jesus your Savior so you'll be able to enter through those gates that we read about in heaven. Today I want to share with you, we're going to have some fun with this. Today I want to share with you about a few people in the Bible who saw certain gates which led them to different places, different positions, and different phases in their life. Let's look at the first person. I have six of them down here. Let's look at the first person, the gate in their life. I saw Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Noah went through a gate. You say, Noah didn't go through no gate, preacher. Well, let me show you. Get a little imagination here. How many have had their coffee this morning? I might make it then. Okay. Was it Duncan? Noah, in chapter 7, and look at verse 11. In this, Pastor David was preaching about Noah this morning. I thought, oh my, don't preach at all. You know, God said the world was so wicked in Genesis 6 that their hearts and evil thoughts were evil continually. And so God destroyed the world with a flood. The entire world was destroyed. By the way, he promises he'll never destroy it again with a flood. But he is going to destroy it again with a fire, but not with a flood. You say, we have floods all over the world sometimes. Yeah, but it's not a worldwide flood. This is a worldwide flood here. Well, look at Genesis 7. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, how many see verse 11? I'm going to try to show you something. In the 600th year of Noah's life, second month, 17th day. It's important that you read all this stuff and that you mark what you read. 17th day of the month, so it's the 600th year, second month, 17th day, right? How many are with me yet? In the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and boy, down came the rain. Look up here. See, most people don't understand. There was you had the earth, and the sky and stuff, but then the three above the stars and up in heaven, God had some more water. Hello? And Brother Tim, what God did, he said that water that was, you say, well, how does it stay up there without falling down? How did the planets stay in orbit? Because God threw them out and spoke, and that's how everything consists by God. There's nothing impossible with Him. I thought I saw someone with a badge that said nothing's impossible with God. Or maybe it was Marty's tie. I can't remember. What's your tie say, Marty? Yeah, there you go. And so don't say, well, that can't be. No, listen. All things are possible when it comes to God. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Because God can make things possible. Amen? Well, if you notice that in verse 11, and the fountains of the great deep broke up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, they had never seen rain before that. When you're reading the scripture in Genesis, I think it's 2:5, a mist came up out of the ground and watered the earth. A mist came up out of the ground, but they had never saw it rain. It had never rained before this. That's why they didn't believe the message. It's hard to believe them because their hearts were hardened. You know, a lot of times when our hearts are hardened, we won't believe nothing that God says. You ever notice that? Well, we got to keep our hearts soft and say, God, tell me so I can understand. Well, if you'll notice the scripture, for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained upon this earth. And Noah and his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives were the only survivors of the flood. 8 people survived, and the whole earth, every living thing on earth was destroyed. How many can say amen? But I want you to see something. By the way, did you want to see how long Noah was in that ark? He was in that ark for 1 year and 10 days. Notice what it said there in verse 11. In the 600th year, Noah's life, 600, second month, 17 days. See that, Brian? Now go over to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 14. And in the second month, well, look at verse 13. And it, chapter 8, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year. When did Noah start? In the 600th year. Now it's the 601st year. Are you looking at that? The first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, where the waters dried up and moved to cover. Let me see that. Now go down to verse 14. In the second month, and he's in his 601st year, and the 27th day of the month was the earth dried. Let me see that. He got in the ark, 600th year, second month, 17th day. He goes out of the ark, 601st year, second month, 27th day. So Noah and his sons and daughters and all those animals were in that ark for 1 year and 10 days. How many could say amen or oh me? So Noah was in that ark for 1 year and 10 days, and good thing he was in obedience to God in the ark, because when the fountain of the deep broke, he would have perished with the rest of them. Now, because he was obedient to God and God's word, here we go, here's the first gate. Noah saw the floodgate. Now, Noah saw the floodgate and was not destroyed, but like the rest of the world. By the way, look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. If you have any doubt if anybody survived. Genesis 7, 22 and 23. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they were with him in the ark, and the water prevailed. Well, how many see that? So it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but it didn't go down until 1 year and 10 days. Can anyone say amen? I want you to see something. God, Noah went through the floodgate. And because Noah went through the floodgate, that experience affected his life drastically. How many believe his life was affected drastically? So Noah went through the floodgate. Now let's look at Abraham. Look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Look at Genesis 15. I put them right in order for you. Noah was in the floodgate. Look at Genesis 15, verse 3. Abram said, "Behold to me, thou hast given no seed." He's talking to God. "And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And God brought Abram out. He said, "Abram, I want you to look up in the sky. I want you to look at all the stars." How many of you ever went out and looked at the stars? By the way, it's good that you do that. Scripture says the firmament declares the glory of God. Did you know God made every one of those stars? By the way, did you know God named? The Bible teaches in Isaiah that God put a name on every one of them stars. I get a kick out. People sell stars. And people actually buy them. Boy, I tell you, I like to sell bridges, wouldn't you? But anyways, my luck's on one here is going to bought one. But anyways, did you notice that God said, "Look up those stars, Noah"? Abraham. I'm having a Dean Martin day, ain't I? Okay, here we go. Abraham, look up in the star. Look at verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord said that he's not going to be heir, but come forth out of thine own bowels of earth. And he brought him forth abroad, and look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." You can't number them. The Bible says they're innumerable. "And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." And he believed, Abraham believed in the Lord. And when he believed in the Lord right there, God counted for him for righteousness. Now that's in the book, we teach that in the book of Romans. This is when Abraham really got saved. This is where he really got saved. I believe that with all my heart. He obeyed God and left the land of Ur of Chaldees. But you know, a lot of people get in church, but they're not saved. A lot of people do a lot of things, but they don't get saved until later. I was in church for over a year before I ever got saved. I made a profession of faith, but I didn't know Christ until about a year later. Are you still with me? I really believe this. It says he believed God, and when the moment, because what that seed, he's not talking about seeds. He's talking about a seed which was going to be Christ. The Messiah was going to come, and he believed the Messiah would come through that line. How many are with me yet? Let me read to you. Abraham saw the stars in the sky. Abraham put his faith in that promised seed, which Galatians 3:16 says, "Not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Galatians talked about this exact thing that went down here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. And so the Bible says Jesus, so I'm telling you that I believe this gate for Abraham was a star gate. Because Jesus is called the bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16. I'm just trying to have some fun with you. I'll get down to the real stuff at first. I'm trying to get you loosened up. Okay, preacher. I'm trying to get you past Dean Martin, okay? Listen, Abraham saw the star gate of heaven, and it affected his life forever. He was never the same after this. You know, when you come to Christ as your Savior, you're never the same. Let me give you the third one, Moses. Moses at the Red Sea. Turn up to Exodus 14 with me. Just keep turning up. I've got them right in order for you. Exodus 14, look at verse 13. Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, remember how they went out of Egypt? By the way, they took all the spoils out. Man, they took jewelry and gold. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, these people were loaded. You people that read the scriptures, you ought to study that. But Freddie, when Moses and the people left Egypt, they took everything they could with them. And the people let them. They said, "Take all you want. I just want you out here." Kind of like your kids. They drive you nuts and you say, "Here, you've been asking for a 20. Here's 50. Just get out of here." kind of how it was over there in Egypt. Just get away! Can't stand you! You drive me crazy! Not only that, people are dying all around us. So they took everything, and they started leaving. And then all of a sudden, later, Pharaoh says, hey, we're not going to let him get away with that. Boy, he got all his army. They're running after Moses and all the people of Israel. And he got to the Red Sea. You know the story. And man, they had nowhere to run. They would have been prey. They'd been destroyed by Pharaoh and his armies. Watch what God does here in verse 13. Moses stretched and said unto the people, fear ye not. You know, a lot of times that's what we need to learn. You know, I was going to preach a message, the promises of God. One of his promises is he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Another, Matthew says, Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. David said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen? I'm going to tell you, we might turn our back on God, but God never turns his back on us. How many are glad to be a child of God? Notice what he says there. Stand still. That's the trouble with most of us. We're running here and there. We're so busy. We never stand still long enough to let God show us something. We never stand still long enough to let God speak to us. The Bible says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know God. And the reason we don't know him, we don't stand still long enough for him to speak to us. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. You see. And so he said, stand still and see. Look what he says. I like that. See the salvation of the Lord. In other words, he's going to save your necks. Hello, your hides. Hello? God's going to make a way for you, just like he made a way for us. I'm glad he went and made a way for me at Calvary. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day for the Egyptians who you have seen today. He shall see them. Ye shall see them again no more forever. And you know the story. God brought a great east wind, and the waters literally opened. Can you imagine those huge waves above, just heaped up, but God had holding them back? Are you with me? And they went on dry ground, not like you see on TV. They didn't wade through. It was dry ground. I noted here, look at verse 21 and 22. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord, are you in verse 21 with me? And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Whoop! You say, preacher, that can't be possible. Anything's possible with God. You tell me how a green cow, how a brown cow can eat green grass and give you white milk. Think about that. A brown cow eats green grass and gives you white milk. Because God can do anything. So he made that cow so it could do that. Boy, I love milk. I'm glad God made that cow do that. Amen. Jimmy wished it would have been green milk, because it'd be like Slurpees, huh? Slurpees? Is that what you are they green? Notice what it says there in verse 22. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them. Still took faith. Look up here. I don't know how high those walls were. I think they had to be pretty high, Rod. I don't know how high they were, but I guarantee you they were pretty high. On both sides. And the power of God's holding it back. They're walking through, and on each side of them, there's huge walls of water. Are you with me? By the way, as soon as God stopped the wind from blowing, and Pharaoh and all his people of Israel on land, and Pharaoh and his army was in the middle, God cut the wind off, and all of a sudden, and Pharaoh went, uh-oh. And the Bible teaches every one of those Egyptians died. And they never saw him no more. He said he won't see him. And God's people got the triumph. Now, I said that for a reason. In 1973, the older people are going to like this. They called the tampering that President Nixon did with certain people and documents, and ultimately had they called it Watergate. And he had to resign. He resigned on August 9th, 1974. They called what Mr. Nixon went through our president Watergate. But really, in real reality, I believe Moses and the people of Israel, they really had the true Watergate. How many can say amen to that? Let's go to the next one. Jesus, look at the Matthew chapter 21. See, preacher's not an old Scrooge. He knows. Too bad that was a Republican. But Ravenna's all Democrats, so they love that. They're not all Democrats, but I'm not. Matter of fact, I'm not Republican. I'm Tea Party. Woo! You shouldn't say that, preacher. If I was you, I wouldn't either. Notice what Jesus went through, a gate. We're talking about gates that you go through your life. Noah went through a gate. He went through a floodgate. Moses went through a water gate. Amen. Abram, I believe, went through a stargate. I'm having fun with you. Are you still with me? Number four, Jesus literally went through a gate in Jerusalem. If you look at Matthew 21, verse 7, Matthew 21, verse 7, and look at verse 6, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, brought the ass and the coat, and put on their clothes, and they set him, Christ, upon that animal, that ass, okay? How many are with me? Are you with me? And by the way, that's a mule, that's a donkey. I'm not, how many, duh. Boy, that preacher cussed. Boy, if that's what, can you imagine what you said this week and you're talking to me? Yeah. And a very great multitude spread their garments. This is what we call Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem right before he's crucified. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in the way, and the multitudes that went before him, that followed, cried, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Brother, I'm going to tell you, they were praising the Savior that came from heaven. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? They should have known who he was because the prophets wrote for hundreds of years before that the Messiah was going to come. The prophets wrote that he'd be born in Bethlehem. They wrote all about the coming Messiah. John the Baptist said, Behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sins of the world. For 2,000 years they offered up lambs for sacrifices. No, that's not true. Because they offered up lambs going back to Abel and Cain. 4,000 years almost. Hello? Because Christ was the Lamb that came from glory, from heaven. He was the slain Lamb before the foundation of the world. They knew what he was. They should, look up here. Billy, those people should have known who he was. Just like you should know who he is. There's no excuse for not knowing who Christ is. Because he's made himself available to all people. And you can learn about him in the Word of God. And you can come to hear the preaching. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so they said, Who is this? They said, and the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I'm going to tell you right now, it's more than that. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was their Messiah. He was their Redeemer. He was their sacrifice that came for them to die for every one of their sins. They should have been on their knees praising him. all day long. By the way, not only he came to die for their sins, he came to die for mine and your sins too. Because all have sinned and come short. Oh, I've never sinned. You liar, liar, pants on fire. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no right now you're sinning because you're mad at me for telling you that. Notice, listen, that very gate that Jesus went through, they call it the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. Do you know what that gate is now? It's boarded up. I know you won't be able to. I'll leave this on the table where you can see. That gate that Christ went through is now is cemented up. They cemented up years ago because the scripture teaches. Well, let me just read to you Ezekiel 44, verses 1 through 3. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked towards the east. It was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered into it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And right now, for hundreds of years, they've had it cemented in, that very gate. Do you know why? Because when Christ comes back in his revelation, but this time he's not going to be riding on a donkey. And this time he's not going to be coming lowly. Johnny, when he comes, this gate here, the Muslims said that because they didn't want Christ. They thought that would stop Christ, and they put a little cemetery out front so that no one would be defiled to go through it. When Jesus comes back, Freddie, he's going to, by the way, this is just outside of the Mount of Olives. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says in Zechariah, when his foot touches, right where he left, in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, he leaves, that very foot that left, it's going to touch, and the earth is going to shake, Steve. I mean, shake. Shake and I'm telling you, everything, there's going to be a huge earthquake. I'm going to tell you, that. I love it, Brother Mike. That old cement in that gate, in that plaster, whatever, the concrete, it's going to pop right out. And Christ, the King of Glory, on his white horse, Jordan, is going to come triumphantly down through the Mount of Olives, and he's going to go right through that gate called the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And not in effect his life, but it's going to affect our life forever. Hallelujah. Woo! I might have me a fit here in just a minute. I'll tell you, that very gate that's boarded up right now, when Christ comes back, it's going to burst wide open. And the King of Glory is going to come through it. You say, I don't believe it. Don't matter. It's still going to happen. Let me give you one more. So Jesus went through the Eastern Gate for you and I. He's coming back again. By the way, can I tell you something? I didn't have this plan. When you read Revelation 19, he's coming back. He's on his white horse. It says, and the armies that follow him are on white horses. Do you know who the armies are? Guess where we're going, Josh? We're going to ride right through that baby. And when I ride through, I'm going to go, Hi-O Silver! Jesus is here! You have to be older. There used to be a... Never mind, it's too old. That's why you have Pastor Dave the young and Pastor Rich the old. You got young and then you got vintage. So, I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that Eastern Gate. They call it the Golden Gate. You better believe it's golden. It's golden for us. Amen. Then let me give you two more gates. Acts chapter 16, there was a Philippian jailer. And there was an earthquake back when he got saved too. Acts 16. It's going to Acts. My last two are in Acts. The last two I'm going to do are in the book of Acts. Acts 16. And look at verse 25. And at midnight, I'm at Acts 16:25. You know, Paul and Silas they were put in prison for preaching the word of God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Not only did the prisoners hear them, the prison gate, the gatekeeper heard them too. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Woo! Now you'd think everybody would, in prison, if the doors were open, you'd think they'd be like the Three Stooges. You think they'd be out of there. But they didn't, because the presence of and the power of God was there, and they stayed right where they were at. They didn't move. By the way, if they would have ran out and escaped, the prisoner would have been, the man in charge of the prison, the prison keeper, he gets killed for letting them get loose. Kind of gives you an incentive to watch the prisoners. If they get away, you're going to die. You think you'd watch them pretty close? Look at verse 2. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself. He was just going to kill himself because he knew he was going to be killed anyways. He didn't want to be tortured. Supposing that the prisoners had fled, and Paul cried with a loud voice, 28, do thyself no harm, for we are here. We're all here. And he called for a light. See, I love the analogy here, Brother Rod. They called for a light. Jesus is the light of the world. You've got to have light to come unto Christ. All of us are in darkness. Every person, myself included, before I got saved, I was in darkness. And then when I got the word in my heart, I saw the light. Amen. Amen. I saw the light. You hear the song? Well, that's what they're referring to, you see. And so, and the Bible says in John chapter 1, he's a light that lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. But look at verse 20. And Paul cried with a loud voice, don't do thyself no harm, for we are here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling. Now this is a prison keeper. Can you imagine? Man, don't kill yourself. We're all here, buddy. What? You'd be trembling too. Paul saved this guy's life. You keep reading, then Jesus saves this guy's soul, which is eternal. And he fell down before Paul and Silas. I love this. And brought them out. He brought Paul and Silas out of the prison cell there and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Some people think you got to work, give money, be a good person. You don't. There ain't nothing. Listen, you don't have to do nothing to be saved but one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's got nothing to do with being a Baptist. It's got nothing to do with being a Catholic, Lutheran. It's got nothing to do with being getting baptized. It's got nothing to do with taking the Lord's Supper. It's got nothing. Your salvation's got nothing to do with anything you could do for yourself, because you can't do it for yourself. You can't get, therefore, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody can get saved by themselves. You've got to be saved by Christ. And he did it all so we could be saved. See, when he was on the cross of Calvary suffering for my sins and your sins, in the ninth hour he cried, it is finished. The price of salvation was paid for. And they said, look at verse 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. And you keep reading, he did get saved. How many can say amen? So, I call this the prison gate. Because he got saved by the prison gate. Amen? And just for a little extra coupon, as Pastor Dave talks about, if you want to look up later, Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20, he was put in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. But while he was in prison, there was a butler and a baker in there, and he told them their dreams. And finally, the Pharaoh wanted to know about a dream, and everyone said, oh, my lands. The butler, oh, there's a guy down there in the prison cell named Joseph. He can tell your dream. And boy, they brought him up. Remember, he said, there's going to be 7 good years of feasting, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. Boy, he was elevated to right, like the prime minister. He was right below Pharaoh. Amen. And they saved those. They saved all their food for 7 years. And when the famine came, the people of Egypt didn't die. But also, there was a God didn't wasn't that wasn't God's primary. His primary thought was for the people of Israel, Jacob and the 75 souls that he had, his father. And so Joseph brought, because God knew ahead of time, he used Joseph to be a blessing. And then Jacob and the other 11 sons came to Egypt, and they were fed because of Joseph. Jacob had food gate. I'm trying. Let me say this to you. I don't know when it's coming. Christ is coming. And when he does come, the trump of God is going to sound. And everyone who has faith in Christ is going to go up in heaven in a moment of twinkling of an eye. What's going to follow us after we leave is the worst time this earth has ever known. 7 years of the worst time. That the Bible says it's the worst time of all the history of mankind. The future coming, the seven-year future coming, called, which the Bible calls the tribulation. And it could happen, it could start tomorrow, I don't know. Whenever Christ calls us out, whenever the rapture happens, but the Bible don't say the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word mystery, the mystery, God's going to call us up, we that are saved. And then after that, people are going to be left behind, those that don't know Christ. They're going to go in that seven-year period. Ruthie, I'm wondering, I wonder if God's going to give this earth seven great years of prosperity right before the 7 years of famine. Now, we don't have to worry about it because we're going to be gone. But it wouldn't hurt to put a little food and water back just in case we don't go out before it starts hitting before the rapture. How many are still with me? And I'm not saying the Bible, I'm just saying there might be some trouble sometimes even before the rapture. But Jesus said, I'll keep you from that hour, Revelation 3:10. How many are with me? And so, I'm glad. I'm glad for the prison gate. I'm glad for the food gate. Then lastly, look at Acts chapter 7. Look at Stephen. Look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7. I love this. This is what we're all looking for, Brian. We're talking about gates today. I talked to you about a floodgate, a water gate. And look at Acts chapter 7 and look at verse 54. And when they heard these things, you have to understand, in the prior chapter 6 and chapter 7, Stephen's preaching to these people. And Stephen got underneath their skin, Bobby. They got him so mad they killed him. You can get killed preaching. It's really a dangerous thing to do sometimes. And when they heard these things, but you can't threaten me with heaven. And when they heard these things, I'm finally done here. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart and they gnashed on him and with their teeth. But he being full, this is talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He actually see, by the way, I've been with people, the Christians, when they've died, and I've seen them do things right before they died. Can you see it? Can you see it? I remember, I think it was John. What was the big boy named John last name? Bowen. I remember Brother Eddie Lineman. Some of you older members, we had no. Eddie Lineman, I was there when Eddie died. I went in to pray with him. And we left, and I started to walk away, and then. I saw. I've seen a lot of them. John. John Bowman's with me. And I said, and we were about from here to Brother Wade when it happened. We had not got completely out. I said, oh, my lands, John. He just saw heaven. And I said, he's gone. Guarantee you. He took his last breath, Ray. What happened? Right before he died, heaven opened up. He actually saw the splendor of heaven, the angels of God. This man had no strength. Literally raised up out of the bed. It went like that. I got to see it. Ask John Bowen next time you see him. Guarantee he'll never forget that. I've also seen other people screaming because they're just going down the deep in the depths of hell. Find out some people, that's scary. I don't want to go there. I noted this. So look at that. In verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. Well, verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That became the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Kind of what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had the heart of a Savior. Well, I want to have the heart of my Savior, don't you? And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. What kind of gate was he at? Well, he had heaven's gate. he saw and went through heaven's gate. Amen? Stephen saw heaven's gate, and he went through heaven's gate. Because the moment you die, I'm all done. The moment you die, see, the Bible says God's a Trinity. And the Bible says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. See, God made every one of us a Trinity. We're a body, soul, and spirit. Our body dies, but our soul and spirit. The moment you die, your soul and spirit leaves the body immediately. You either go up to heaven or you go straight down to hell. But if you have faith in Christ, you go up. If you don't have Christ, you go down. That's the truth. By the way, they actually took experiments where people died, and they do lose a real small fraction of weight. I don't know the fraction of it. I used to know, but I can't pull it up right now. It's one of those senior moments. Been having a lot of them this morning. But they actually say when a person dies, right after they die, they lose a fraction of weight. And I believe that fraction of weight is the soul and spirit leaving the body. I believe that with all my heart. And I know it's true because I know what the Bible teaches. I've studied it for a long time. Your soul leaves and so does that spirit. Scripture says every spirit, it goes back to God. Anyways, now, so in closing, I want to say this. Stephen saw, we're talking about gates. Stephen saw heaven's gate when he died. Will you see heaven's gate when you die? If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you've not called on Christ to be your Savior and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you will not see heaven's gate. It's got nothing to do with religion. But you'll see the gates of hell. The lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, and whoso is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So the question is, I leave you on this day is, what gate will you choose to go through? We're all going to go through different gates in our life. Would you choose heaven's gate or the gates of hell? Would you decide to be with Jesus or would you decide not to be with Christ for eternity? But by the way, whatever you decided with Jesus, it determines where you go. And if you receive Christ as your Savior, you'll go to heaven. He came and died for you. And the Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You can either choose to walk through the gates of heaven, or you can choose to go out in the terror of, and torment of hell. It's not God's will that any should perish. You say, boy, this is a fundamental church. It is. Just like Pastor Dave, we believe in, there's much as much in hell as we do as heaven. It's fun to preach on heaven, but I'll tell you, remember my first verse, but few there be that find it. What's sad is even though heaven's real and hell's real, most people won't find heaven. They'll miss the gate. They'll miss the door that gets them in. John 9, Jesus in verse 10, I am the door. If any man enter in, he must come through me. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, he's talking to Christians here, but we use it for salvation, but he's talking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. God's knocking everyone's heart today. Let me in. Let me in. Have you let him in? I grew up on the streets of Galena as an alcoholic. One day I heard about Christ. And about a year later, I said a prayer with a preacher. You know, I got baptized and sang in the church and gave out gospel tracts, gave money to the offering plate. You know, one thing good, I read the Bible every night before I went to bed. One night, about a year after I was supposed to have been saved, I was reading the Bible as usual. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. Rose and I had only been married a few months. We had just got married. Lived at 1034 and a half Sherman Street in the upper duplex. Before we got married, we bought some furniture. We paid cash. We didn't go in debt. It was used furniture. We bought an old green couch and some lamps and some tables and a couple chairs for $110. I remember that night, though. For the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. And I realized I was going to hell. And I remember I started crying. And Brother Marty, I got down for the old green couch, kind of aqua color. And I said, Lord Jesus, please come to my heart and save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. It's not religion to get you to heaven. You've got to know Christ wants you as yours. You've got to want him as your Savior. And I said, Lord, come into my heart, be my Savior. Save my soul from hell. Forgive me of all my sins. And come into my heart. Lord, I'm trusting you right now. And right then, God saved my soul. Not been the same since. Oh, I still make a lot of mistakes. I messed up with Dean Martin today. Sure, not perfect. But I'm perfect in God's eyes. Because I'm a child of God now. Because the Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the Son of God. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, that means anyone, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you never ask Christ to save you, and you don't want to miss heaven's gate, you don't want to miss heaven's gate, trust me. You don't want to end up opening your eyes when you die in the gates of hell with the screaming and the torment forever and ever. And by the way, there's no turning back. Once you're there, you read the book of Luke, that man couldn't come back. He was there. His destiny is forever sealed. When you die, your destiny, either heaven or hell, is sealed forever. You can't pray. You can't light candles. You can't pay money. You're saved when you die. Wherever, if you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're lost, you go to hell. It's forever sealed forever. That's why the Bible said, get saved right now. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time to trust Christ. And so if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, I hope that you'll think about these different gates. I had some fun with some of them. Christians can have fun. But the greatest gate of all is the gate of heaven. Stephen entered into that gate at his death. The Bible says in the New Testament to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. I'm not worried about dying. I know when I die, I'm going straight up. I say a lot of times, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the uppertaker. And so let me encourage you, if you never ask, don't worry about religion. Don't worry about good works. Forget about all that stuff. Just make sure you have Christ as your Savior. Christ is the one that gets you to heaven. Not this preacher, not no religion. Jesus is the one that loves you. He's the one that came down from heaven. He's the one that died on Calvary's cross, suffered and from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours, Christ died for every one of us. On the third day, he arose. 40 days later, he ascended back to heaven. He's in heaven right now, and he's calling to the whole world, I love you. I love you. Take me as your Savior. Receive me. I died just for you. If you go to hell, it won't be God's fault, because God did all he could to save you from hell. See, we're not all the children of God. The Bible says, people say, we're all the creation of God. The only ones that have faith in Christ are the children of God. Heavenly Father, I pray today